Gratitude. I'm so glad Revelation series is over, even though I kind of miss it. Because this week I'm like, oh man, not a lot of study. These are like really practical and these are easy. These are easy sermons, right? So, I'm really excited about this sermon today, taking a break from studying Revelation. But Webster's Dictionary, defines the word gratitude this way. The quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. So if you think about it, according to this definition, gratitude, it's not something we just kind of have it in our heart or just kind of think about it or a passing thought. We can't just hold gratitude inside of us, but it's something we practice, something that is expressive, is something that people need to see it, something that reflects what we feel in here. It requires action. Maybe even words and deeds. We are entering some of the most wonderful holidays of the year. But I do understand that it is probably some of the most difficult holidays, series of holidays for some of us, if not all of us. This is the time of the year where we begin to start worrying about our finances. Can I afford it? Do I need to pick up extra shifts to make enough money? Do I need to start Ubering or do DoorDashes on the side? There's nothing wrong with that. I actually consider volunteering myself for tips only to drive people to the airport because I know how expensive Uber is. That's a good way to make some side income, by the way. Just say, hey, put on Facebook, anyone need a ride to airport? Let me know, right? Some stuff like that. I'm not offering that. I'm just saying I considered it, right? I'm not, don't start emailing me, okay? But this is some of those holidays where you think about holiday activities. Which one do I go to? Or even have in the back of your mind the in-laws, right? Ah, the in-laws. When do we visit? Who do we visit? How long do we stay when we visit? Should we book a hotel apart that's close enough or far enough so we can say, oh, we got to go, right? All these going through your heads. Or loneliness or missing loved ones. These are real emotions you're going to experience. Grieving a strained or broken several relationships. You know, in which uncle or cousins is going to ruin Thanksgiving and Christmas this year. Huh? What if we approach this holiday season not with stress or worries, but or not even with bank accounts or credit cards, but with the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness, gratitude. Let's make our way over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Philippians is in the New Testament, the Bible separated into two parts, Old Testament, New Testament. Philippians towards the back is written by Paul to Philippi. These letters were written to a specific group of people. There were actually people who received these letters, okay? So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Your attention, please. Let's read that again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want you to memorize this for the next couple of weeks. I want you to print it out and put it on your car, put it on your doors, put it right next to your bed. As you go to sleep, as you wake up, as you walk out of the house, you start driving, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayers and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God's word not only leads us to Jesus, but also teaches us how to live here and now on this earth. I want you to memorize this. I want you to post it everywhere in your house. I might even ask you to stand up and recite it one Sunday just to test you, randomly. Neri, I might pick you first, okay? But for the first part of the scripture is that there's something we have to do. It's something we are responsible for. So gratitude in your bulletin. Someone went to visited a church and they showed me their bulletin. They said, man, they have like these lines where you can fill in during your sermons. And I say, okay, I want to start putting lines in my sermon so you can fill it out. So there's these blanks in your bulletin. You can fill this out. The first thing is this: gratitude begins with our focus on God and not on self. Gratitude begins with our attention and our focus on God, not on self. Some, if not all of you, are already thinking about all of the things and the sort of events and the activities, the presents, the family visits, the vacations, ultimately, all the things, can we afford it? Can you feel, I'm stressing out just telling you, the temperature is rising in your home, in your head, in your heart, the stress begins to creep in and you are anxious. Some even wish you can fast forward this time of the year and start in January. How many of you guys think that? Didn't you get stressed out just hearing me expressing that? The way I expressed that? Just fast forward the holidays. You begin to see the ads, the best deals, what your kids need for Christmas. What you actually need for this, isn't it amazing that people are telling you what your kids need for this Christmas or what you need for this holiday season? You hear other parents talking about what they're going to do and what they're going to get their kids. Your children begin to drop hints of what they want for Christmas. My own. Aaron wants a cell phone for Christmas. I said, for what? Who are you going to call? You're with us all the time. What are you talking about? Why do you need a cell phone? Okay. That's a sign. That's a sign. Do not be anxious about anything. Gratitude begins with our focus on God, not on self. We add anxiety and stress to our lives because we welcome and even enslave ourselves to worldly expectations. We think we have to have it. Entering October, November, we think we have to have it. We worry about disappointing our kids or complaints if we don't buy what they want. Or certain gifts, or even keeping certain traditions in your home. We think our house needs to look a certain way to even consider inviting guests over. And then we begin to remove God from our focus. We remove God from our schedule. And we welcome the whispers of this world. We live in this constant state of worry. We close our Bibles. We skip church. We spend and schedule too much. And somehow, to our surprise, January comes around. We're overdrafted financially, physically, mentally, and spiritually. That's why every January 1st, I'm going to start over. No, you don't have to start over. If you manage yourself this way leading into January, you just continue to live. There's this line that Liz and I use for our own self and our home, especially in coaching, but now even especially now in ministry. You can't please everyone. So you might as well please God. Amen. You can't please everyone. You might as well please God. Basically, we realize that no matter what we do, no matter how good our intentions are, we're going to disappoint somebody and or offend someone. Inevitably, there will always be someone that will nitpick every little thing about you or criticize or complain everything that you do as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, as a father, your home, what you buy, what you wear, what you have. So you can't please everybody. You might as well turn your attention and please God first. So Liz and I made a commitment in our own lives that we rather disappoint people than God. When we turn our focus on God, we begin to care more about what God thinks about us and what God asks of us. When we care more about what God thinks of us, we have less of the capacity, less time, less room in our head to welcome the stress and anxiety that our self-centered world tries to force on us. When I focus on what God thinks of me, I have less time in my own life to worry about what Joe Schmo thinks of me, or what your boss, your coworker, your friends, which they're not really your friends anyways, because friends don't really care what you have. So one, to get through the season, gratitude, it's focusing on God, not on ourselves. But the second part of this verse, it says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's hard. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Sometimes, why is it put in there? Because sometimes we forget, you forget, that we are children of the Most High. Your Father in heaven is the God of the universe. We forget that. We forget that God has everything and He created you and I, and He says what? God created you and I, and He says what? Very good. Can we edit that part out on YouTube? Because I'm failing you right now. I'm asking you a Bible question and no one said anything. God created you and He says, very good. Sometimes we forget that. We forget that we are children of the Most High. How many of you made it to church today? All of you should raise your hand. Go ahead, raise your hand. All of you, please, entertain me. How many of you made it to church today? Hey, yeah. How many of you are watching online? Raise your hand, you're watching. I can't see you, but, you know. How many of you are watching this later? If you're watching this later online, not live right now, you can still raise your hand. How many of you are watching this later online because the sermon is so good? Good. I'm glad some of you are. If you're watching this later, you know, or now, or here, you made it to church. But while you're sitting here, let's be honest here. How many of you have worries buzzing around your head? Something as simple as, what's for lunch? Yeah. What's for lunch? When can I run my errands for the week? Do the kids have to finish their homework? Did they start on their homework? Do they have homework left before school starts tomorrow? Did I take a shower today? Did you? I need to email my boss back. My kid's going to be in school tomorrow, and then with the conflict that's happening in the Middle East, are my kids going to be safe? Is Halloween going to be safe? Should I let my kids wander around the street on Halloween with people that are easily disguised as something else. Bills are falling behind. And can I catch up? On an even more serious note, health concerns, conflict with your spouse. There's all these worries and thoughts are rushing through your heads right now as you're sitting here. Conflicts with your children and your coworkers or your boss. Butting heads with your spouse, or how are we going to solve this? Some of you even sitting in this room right now and you like want to hold your spouse's hands, but somehow you got to church this morning and you got in a fight on the way, so you kind of rub close enough, but letting her know you still love her and or you love him, but not close enough to know that you're still mad at him, to let him know that you're still mad at him or her, right? Like there's this awkwardness that's going through. How are we going to talk about this when we get home? Some of you are thinking, I need to request time off. I need to ask for a pay raise. How am I going to make it through the season? Some of you even thinks about the new year is coming up. I need to secure reliable insurance for the family and health care. Some of you even want to grow your family. And things didn't work out the way that you expected. And the timeline is not matching. And you can't get pregnant. You lost. All these things are going through your head. And these types of worries plague you and us. Well, I got good news for you. That's because you're human. That's because you're human. These are natural tendencies that you will experience. Alexa Zapp's basketball season's coming up. If you get a chance, go over to FAU and watch Alexa play. She's a starting guard this year. Relationships, degrees, what do I major in? These are natural things that you are going to worry. That means you're just human. Relationships and all these things that are going through your heads. As a pastor, as someone who is responsible for this, I worry. Am I teaching this right? Am I holding this close to my heart and upholding it in the correct way in the community? And to you, I worry. But as a pastor, someone who's responsible of this, I see something that you are not seeing. I see you. I see you in church. I see that no matter how hard life gets, you're here. Or how exciting or easy life is for you. Which is, that's usually when people leave church, by the way. When things are back in order, back together. You're still here. Dag nabbit. Is that even a word? Like, I talk with you every single week. And some of you are a little closer to me than others, you know. But man, the things that you go through, or I hear that you go through, but you still set foot here into church? That's incredible. That's what I see, that you're still here. The most important things in your life, in all circumstances that you go through, lost a job, broken relationships, or credit card debts and bills behind, you still trust God. You see it? You might not see it, but I see it. You're still here. You made it here. You even took a shower and round up your kids, and you're here. That means there's a part of you that no matter what happens in life, this is still the most important things in your life. Amen? I am proud of that. I'm proud of you for being that. That's what I see. I'm here to tell you that you're human. Heck, you make sure your children are here. That, moms, raise your, that is an accomplishment. With the little time and money that you have, you put aside a portion to give to God. And I hope and pray, and I'm sure that you are as well. You set aside time to pray on your own. So that verse is really not that hard. You already started. Essentially, we are trusting God. You are trusting God in all of your circumstances. Because you're here. Everyone in this world is searching for meaning, searching for something, searching for peace. Unfortunately, some went and searched for more stuff. What we really need is God. And I love what the last part of this verse says. It says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Essentially, gratitude is focusing on the quality of our hearts, of your heart, before the quality of life. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That means his peace might look a little different than what you expect, but he knows what's best and what's peace is for you, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I got an ad this week on my computer, my loan, my mortgage company. And the reason I get an ad for my loan and my mortgage company, because I still owe money. I'm still paying off my house. And this is what their headline is. Give your kitchen that a wow factor. How many of you guys receive that this week? Or is that just with my company? How do they know that my kitchen doesn't have a wow factor in the first place? Okay. It says, give your kitchen that wow factor. Take out more loans. We can give you this much. You can redo your kitchen just in time for the holidays to welcome a guest. This will only take you 15 years to pay back. That's what my loan company wants me to do because I have good credit. They don't know is that I'm a pastor. And my kitchen already have a wow factor. I got four kids. It's always messy. You walk into my kitchen is, we just cleaned this up like an hour ago. Wow. You already have a wow factor. It's always messy and dirty dishes. But in all honesty, the wow factor is that my kids can go into the fridge and grab something to eat. Our dinners are filled. That Liz can put food on the table every single day. Sometimes we even have leftovers. And sometimes we even invite a friend or two to share a meal with us. It already have a wow factor. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do any renovation to your house or that there's anything, you know, intrinsically wrong with. You work hard, you earn, and you have to do the things to your house that you want. There's nothing wrong with that. But the scripture teaches us to focus on the quality of our hearts first. And when we present our request to God, we trust God. When we focus on God in all that we do first, his peace replaces our chaos. His peace will guard our heart to keep out the anxiety and the pressure of this world that's imposing on you that you need a wow factor in your kitchen. And today could be as simple as this kitchen, but tomorrow might be a lost job, a sickness or an emergency, a death in the family or something as horrific as was going on in Israel and Palestine. I can be sad. I can be confused. And I might even be angry. You know, you might get angry. You might be angry at God. I'm here to tell you, it's okay. That means you're human. Those emotions, those feelings are going to come. But the difference is this. Between the person who has Christ in them is that we turn these emotions towards God. The difference between a person that's in Christ to a person that's not in Christ is that we turn these emotions towards God, instead of turning it to our credit cards, get into debt by buying things, hopefully that will solve our problems, that will make us happy. We think when we're angry, we have to make a fist and vengeance and say, why I should go. Sometimes we take it out on our keyboards, putting on Facebook. Facebook hasn't solved any of your problems, have they? Has it? Has Facebook solved any worldly problems? No. Why do we keep doing that? It definitely won't make me feel any better in the long run. Before we know it, we are out of money, out of friends, out of energy. And we scream in the top of our lungs because we are out of our minds. When we take a step back from what the world that wants of us and immerse ourselves, our hearts and minds in the scripture, in the word of God, we invite God's influence. We're inviting God's thoughts and who He is to influence our thoughts, our emotions, which inevitably shapes our hearts. Flip over to Matthew chapter 7. It's part of the Gospels. There are four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and... All right, I didn't fail you. Good. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew chapter 7. This was what Jesus said. Verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Anyone who seeks, finds. And who the one knocks, the door will be open. A lot of people would interpret this as stuff. Like, I ask God for a car. I ask God for this. I ask God for that. Why isn't He given to me? I asked Him. Material things. That's not what Jesus is talking about at all. He's talking about Himself. Ask Him first. What do I need? Ask Him for guidance. Ask, knock on His doors and see what His thoughts for you, what His ideas for you, what doors should you walk through. Ask Him first. He says, seek me first, and I will give you what you need. What you want might be different than what you really need. And He says, knock, and I will open that door for you to enter. This is what I'm grateful for. That in my imperfections, my silliness, my poor jokes, and all the things that I do that I think would make God mad at me, and I read the scripture, He still hears me. He still answers. Because I am a child of the Most High. You are children of the Most High. When we focus on the quality of our heart with God, then He will guard our hearts so we can see the blessings in our lives instead of seeing an outdated kitchen, paint to chipping off, built in the 1970s. I see ramen noodles and you crack an egg over it, which is really good, by the way. I see rice. I see food. I see my children can put a dish in there. The reason there's dirty dishes in the table in the kitchen because we just ate. The reason our house is a mess because we live in it. It's full of life. The reason our carpet is worn out because we walk there. When we are focused on the quality of our heart with God, then He will guard our hearts. Instead of focusing on the kitchen that you see online, I focus on my own. Instead of focusing on someone else's things and relationships or the things that's going on. I focus on the blessings that I have. I want you to watch this. Can we restart and get the sound? Who's running sound back there? Let's see if Josh can do it. Is there a sound going out from the computer into, well, no. All right. Anything? Okay. That's okay. We'll move on. In this story, a guy spends his whole life helping people in his community. Maybe we'll show it next week or something. It's actually a really touching story. I wish you can see it because it kind of brings the sermon together. But he spends his whole life helping his community, moving dirt, chopping trees, building things for people around him. And his health took the turn for the worse. He's in his 80s. And he couldn't do it anymore. And people found out that he has only a couple months left to live. So instead of celebrating his life after his death, they decided to make a coffin. And they all wrote something on it. And they have him went over and look at it and see the things that he has done and impact the lives that's around him. And sometimes in life, we think what we have is it's what's satisfying. But maybe the most satisfying things in life is it's not so much what you have, is what you're grateful for of the things that you have and what you give. Psalm 145:18-19, it says this: the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him, and he hears their cry and saves them. Amen. Nowhere does it say the Lord is near those who go after the worldly things. It says the Lord is near those who go after him. As the band come forward, as I invite you to stand, where is your heart this morning? How do you approach this holiday season? And as the worries and the stress that's beginning to settle in, I ask that you focus your attention to show gratitude for the things that's in front of you, the things that you have, instead of the things you don't have. Because what's most important to God is what's here in your heart and that he's there. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, our elders will be up here to pray with you. But if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, today could be your day. We make this call every Sunday because what's the point of church? What's the point of teaching and sharing if we don't give you an opportunity to turn your life around and turn to God? We have a baptistry right behind here. We can do that today as well. We have change of clothes for you. But don't leave here today without turning your heart towards God. All right, I'll just go ahead and make your way forward. by way of invitation, this song. We're asking you to make a decision for God.